I was staggered to find out the last time they were here, they told me that we are the only people that have maintained constant support, regardless of how many committed to supporting them when they first went up. Some have dropped off, some have lessened their giving, some give intermittently, but they just couldn't believe the faithfulness of FaithWorks being so strong in a regular, unfailing, constant commitment. And I just sort of thought, you know, it's what God called us to do. And where we can be a support to the body of Christ, and he's given us resources to be able to do that. To me, it's just when you make a commitment, you follow it through and you don't renege on that commitment. And that's something I've never, ever compromised on, and we never will. And it was just such a blessing to hear that it's done so much for them up there. You can also pray for Anthony and Jane. They are currently, well, they flew into Cairns yesterday and they're moving out into the remote areas. And Anthony's going up there with so many open doors to talk to young men and young people in the Aboriginal communities about choices. And he wants to instill values back into them where choices are made, that they've got choices regarding the destiny of their life and their future, and just hanging around and making wrong ones is not the way they should be going. And he's just a real ambassador up there now, even though he's getting up there under the guise or under the open doors he gets as a footballer. His passion is to see his people get out of this false culture that's developed in the Aboriginal communities over the past 30, 40 years. It's not their culture. It's a culture that's a plastic culture that's been instilled by propagation and other things that have got into the communities and taken them away from their real culture into this fabricated culture that's a lot to do with, you know, white man's influence from wrong sources, unfortunately. So he's up there really preaching a good word. So if you think of Anthony and Jane this week, definitely get into it. And I love the fact that what Mel said, their eyes light up when they see the word in their own language. You seen the word in your own language lately? I'm staggered at how many people I talk to haven't picked up a Bible, not from Sunday to Sunday, but month to month, year to year sometimes. And you got a Bible? Oh, I've got one somewhere. Where did I see it last? Sure, I had it recently. I can't live like that. I can't live like that. It's my life. It's my sustenance. It's my daily feeding. You got the Word of God. You got to be passionate about it. Get the Word of God. We've got it in our own language in 40,000 different translations almost, you know, and, well, they're not all translations, but at least it's in modern English if you can't understand the thuses and the thous and the hithers and the thithers of the King James. You've got an option. But get that Word of God into you. It's paramount. People that are desperate for the Word of God, treasure it. I remember a couple here in Gisborne who went to China, they went over there with Bibles to give away, and they got into an area and they had one Bible left. What do we do with it? And you know what they did with it? They gave them, you read this page, when you finish give it to Mel, to Mash. You read that one, when you finish give it to Kate, when you finish that one, give it to Brendan, we give you this one, you give it to... And they shared the Bible around and they learned it verbatim, word for word, because they had one Bible between something like 2,500 people. And they shared the pages of the Bible around. They were hungry for it. Have we got a hunger for God's Word like that? Man, puts us to shame, doesn't it? We're just so blasé about it. We don't get into it. Because God is revealing himself in that word. God reveals his love for us. You sing that song, oh God, your love is great. How do you know if you haven't learned to the resource of the nature and the love of God? Because it's revealed to us in His Word. His Word was put there, and He purposed that Word to be written and produced the way that it has been for us to learn of God. And you know, like, we're going through a preparation time, I believe, for what God has for not just this church, but for many churches and for God's people right across this planet. And the call has gone out for God's people to get to know Him more, to work with Him more, and to learn Him of Him more. And I know God's got definite purpose for His kingdom and His church, even in this area where we are. And just seeing the way God's led and developed our lives over the last couple of years has staggered me completely. If you'd have said to me 2 years ago we'd be here today with this pressure on us, or not pressure, but this leading of God on our lives, I would not have even thought of it or contemplated it. But our faith needs to be developed, and God needs to prepare us, and God needs to work with us. And initially, the Bible says to you, and in Romans 12:23, as Paul writes this, don't get yourself into some high and haughty thing just because you're able to do a few things, but think soberly. And remember that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. This scripture is an amazing scripture, because every person has a measure of faith. And that measure of faith may not be the sort of faith that can move mountains or do amazing things for God and set you on challenge courses that are going to, you know, excite nations or excite communities. But you've got a measure of faith there. And that initial measure of faith that God ensures that we all have gives us one capacity, and one capacity only: to come to Him. To come to Him. Initially, that's our salvation step. That level of faith, that section of initial faith that says, I see I need God, and we put our lives in His hands. But it's not just there for that initial salvation. That step, or that measure of faith, is there for every situation we need God in our lives in. You have, and I have, the measure of faith. And yet so many times in life, oh, we do it our own way, we do it ourselves. I'm in strife here. I'm not feeling really good at the moment. I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other. The measure of faith is to call God in to every physical and natural and material situation that we need God in our lives. Amen? That is the initial starting point that gets God involved in our lives. It's appointed to every man a measure of faith, or the measure of faith. Are we using it? Has the last trauma you've had in your life caused you to get God involved in it? And use that measure of faith in a way that says, God, I need You. I can't do this on my own. Has it given you the draw card to invite God in? Think about that. Half the time we don't use it, do we? We really need to begin to develop an understanding that God has given us faith for a purpose. Now, there's a difference in growing in faith, and I'll get onto that in a minute. But, you know, I've had people come to me and say, oh, I wish I could do with you, but I just haven't got faith. And I have to stand there and say, I'm sorry. I've got active faith. You've got dormant faith. That's the difference. You need to start to generate the faith that God's given you. You can't tell me you haven't got faith. My Bible tells me every man has at least a measure of faith to get God involved. Amen? Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 10:15, there's a scripture there. Not boasting beyond our measure, that is in other men's labors, but with the hope that as your faith grows, we will be within our sphere enlarged even more by you. He's talking about the church there that was developed. He said, don't get caught up in the things that people are doing, or the works that are happening, or what others are able or not able to do. There's a development of faith that is going to make sure that we are benefiting from your faith growing. We're not benefiting from the fact that you can build big buildings, or that you can draw card 20,000 people, or you can have a music band and an elaborate, you know, stage, or you can do this. That is all good if you've got the people and the resources to do it, but it is not the be-all and the end-all of what church is all about. Or even the fact that you come here and we enjoy worship, sing some songs, get involved, hear a message. It's got nothing to do with that as your faith grows. Are we allowing our faith to grow? Are we allowing ourselves to be in a position where faith is being developed in our lives? The measure is there to get us started. The measure is there to get God involved. The measure is there for us to put our hands on our lives and entrust Him with ourselves and with everything that we are and we're doing. But there's a growing in faith that takes us on a bit further, that allows God's life and nature to develop in us for His purposes. Amen? Not for our purposes. The measure is there for our purposes. Gets us on the go. Growing in faith is there for God's purposes. Jesus used an analogy in the Bible talking about the kingdom of God being like a mustard seed. And it's a pretty small seed, but grows into a pretty dynamic tree. And He even said to them later on, He says, the mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds that you plant. But the kingdom of God's like that. And it's a generated sowing that may look insignificant and small in the beginning, but will have greater consequences down the road if it's done in faith. And he said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could go along a little further and you could say to this situation, to this sickness, to this mountain, to this problem, be removed. Not a physical mountain be cast into the sea. I mean, I've seen people try and do that. I remember one guy bought a house and he realized if he got up the top of his hill, there was a view over the other side of the next mountain. He could see the ocean. And that's not the sort of thing we cast mountains down for so we get a better view. The whole thing that Jesus was talking about was developing in our faith. And even if it's small as a grain of mustard seed, there's enough potency in that to create an amazing difference and a change in circumstances and lives. And Jesus encouraged us in that. And He said, if you had that, what would it take to get that then? What would it take for us to go from the measure of faith that gives us the capacity for God to get into our world and our life and our situation and give us the open door for us to say, yes, God, I will allow you in. I want you in. I need you in my life. That measure of faith is something I have to use every day. That measure of faith is the faith that I need to sustain my inviting God into my circumstances. But then I need to grow in faith and grow in the knowledge of God and grow in the knowledge of His Word to be able to then be effective for God and for His kingdom outside of my little world that needs God in it. I've got to work with that, amen? So faith starts with what gave us to come with Him. But faith then develops. Faith grows. Faith is part of something that cannot remain dormant in our life. You cannot come to Jesus, give your life to Him, use that measure of faith to invite God in your life and go, well, I'm okay now, I must be a Christian, I've done the steps, I'm here and there, and do nothing with it. There needs to be a growth, there needs to be a development, there needs to be a passion for God that grows within us, that gets us into His Word, that gets us to wanting to know Him. You know, how many people get married and they go, got a ring on my finger now, that's pretty good. See ya, I know we're married, but I'll catch up with you in a year or two. That's nuts. But people do that with God. They do that with God. They come to Jesus and they go, I'm a Christian. I believe you. I'm a Christian now. And they do not do anything else about that relationship. What? And they wonder why their life is upside down and in turmoil and things go wrong and things happen to them because the challenges that they are supposed to be allowing God in their life to work with them, what they've walked away from. The capacity for God to do it. Faith has to be there constantly. It needs to be a growing, developing relationship with God that continues to be active and continues to grow, and this continual interaction with God and with His Word. I mean, even so, the initial measure of faith is always there. Do we call on it? Do we activate it? Do we use it? But then there needs to be that ongoing growing in faith that is completely different. I think it's like, you know, you first meet your potential partner in life and you get to know them. And you've got that's the measure of faith, you know, that initial measure to point at every person. There's that longing to get to know someone or to meet someone or have someone in your life. There's a drive there. But boy, when it starts to get serious, you need to grow. You can't thrive on the drive because the drive's usually just an infatuation that doesn't last. And if you don't work on it and you don't develop it and you don't activate your love and activate your concern, care, love and intensity for the other person, that initial, gee, she's a bit of all right, will not, or he's a bit of all right, will not get you anywhere, will it? But why do we do that with God? Why do people do that with God? It needs to go on in a far greater intensity. It needs to be a passion. You should see their eyes light up when they see the Word in their own language. Have you seen the Word in your own language lately? Come on. Have you? Whoa, I love that. You know, there's a guy came to Jesus. And I think I've got that up there. They brought this young man, you know, he brought his son to Jesus. And the disciples had actually tried to cast the demon out of this boy. And he was one of these convulsing kids and must have had something that really upset him, threw him into the fire. And he used to get into such traumas. But nothing happened. And anyway, Jesus said, bring him to me. And they brought the boy to Jesus. And when they brought him to him, he immediately went into a convulsing fit and falling to the ground, rolling around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus said to the father, how long has he been like this? He said, from a child. And it's often thrown him both in the fire and into water to try and destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. This is in one of the more English translations. And Jesus says, if you can do anything, wow. He says, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, here's a pretty traumatic situation, but Jesus challenges the father and he says, if you can believe, all things are possible. And the father immediately cried out and said, Lord, I do believe. But he said to Jesus these amazing words, and I get so excited by this. This really shows where we need to be at. Lord, I believe everything within me has the capacity to reach out to you. I believe, but there must be more. Will you take over and help my unbelief? I'll go all the way with you beside me. I'll go all the way with you to strengthen me. I will go all the way with you to enable me. I can't do it on my own, Lord Jesus. But I need you to stand with me in this. Help my, strengthen my, make up for my area where I lack in belief. And Jesus took this little boy and cast the demon out of him, set him free, and it went away whole. I'm telling you, sometimes we think, oh, my belief or my faith is not strong enough. My belief or my capacity to come to God is not where it needs to be. So maybe God's not interested, or God won't take me, or I feel so inadequate. Like Greg said at communion, you know, we talk ourselves down, we devalue ourselves. I'm telling you, we need to get the value of the King of Glory alongside our values and see where the values go to from there, amen? I love that. He paid the price. Rake brought a song to my memory that was sung some time ago by Ken Copeland. Whew. He walked the streets of Calvary. The rugged cross he bore, took it to Calvary, took that cross through the streets to Calvary, and they crucified him there. And then the song goes on, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. What a value he placed in us. What an investment he made for you and I to fulfill the joy that he was going to have down the track, seeing his church grow and develop. Wow. That is just such an amazing commitment. But you know, when this guy came to Jesus and he said, I believe, will you help my unbelief? I am fascinated that he did that at that time, in that situation, in that era. There was no cross at that stage. There was no covenant that we have with God in this new covenant, freedom and liberty. But he still saw something in Jesus that made him say, hey, I'm coming to you and I need you to stand by me. You know what he did? He came to the Word. Because the Bible calls Jesus the Word of God. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. And you know where he went to get his faith strengthened? The Word. Where do you and I need to go to get our faith strengthened? Where do you and I need to go to recognize what is needed in our lives to change our level of development in God? To the Word. He went to the living Word. We have the written Word that reveals the living Word to us. And of course, then the Bible tells us clearly, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is what instills life in us that develops greater faith in where God wants us to go and be and do things for Him. I remember getting up at Church of Christ some years ago and telling the story of going to see my mum, who was in quite a sad state. She'd lived a long life, but she'd had Alzheimer's and she'd started to look pretty frail on the hospital bed. But she knew God, and I could go in there and talk to her, and she was always back in her childhood, and I was one of her brothers, and I said, I'm your son. Ah, you're too old. You're way too old for that. I haven't got a son that old. I'm too young for a son your age. And totally in a different world, but this particular time I went in there. Well, no, every other time I could go in there, I would sing old songs and hymns, and you know, she would respond. She loved the singing, the Christian songs she knew. And I used to sing so many of the hymns she loved and so many of the songs, and she would be in her element, but in every other aspect, amazingly, she was off with the fairies. One time I went in there and there was no response. And I just said, Father, it's not right that a child of God should lay in this condition, in this state any longer. And I should have done this earlier, but Lord, you're free to take her home. Got a call that night. Mum's passed away. Of course you get the little bit of, you know, sadness. But at that time, I was elated. I said, yes! Come on, Lord. It's so good. God, my prayer was just to take her home. And it really just built my faith and encouraged me. And I shared this, and people come up to me and said, oh, I wish I had the faith you had. To me, that was natural. To me, that was natural. Why was it natural? Because I'd grown in faith. Because I'd grown in what I knew I could expect from God. I grew in knowing who God was. I grew in knowing what God would require of me. I grew in knowing what God would do when I prayed. I grew in knowing that He was there to answer prayer. Amen? And I knew what level of faith I could walk and operate in. I wasn't going beyond it. But that to me was just natural. It was a natural part of my growth and development to operate in a level of faith that I knew God could work in. And so many people in that service came up to me afterwards and said, "Oh, I just haven't got that kind of faith. Oh, I wish I had your faith." I'm like, "That's no good to you. I live by the faith of the Son of God. You need to get his faith in your life." And I was staggered. I learned so much from just sharing that testimony that people didn't know how to develop their faith. Hadn't developed their faith. Couldn't develop their faith because they were blinded to the fact that the Word of God was where they needed to go to. And these were, you know, Christians for many, many years. And I found that quite tragic. I don't want to see Christians that have been Christians in God's church for any length of time that haven't grown and developed in faith. Amen? And if you're not there, time to start. He came to the Word and the Word came to him. And hearing the Word developed that faith. And going on in God for every one of us requires a growing in faith, requires us in acting in faith, acting positively, acting according to God's Word, and acting even a little above the level that we're currently at, so we're stretching our faith. And we can say to Jesus, "Lord, I believe. Will you help my unbelief?" That's my cry, Lord God. If I can't have that capacity now to stretch myself to believe for that, I know it's there. I know you want to do it, but God, will you stand with me on this one? Guess what he does? You know, next time I want to go somewhere, it's beyond that one. It's a bit beyond. It's a little bit more. And I see God taking us into areas where there's always a little bit more. Amen? How many of you have been challenged lately for a little bit more in God in your life to do things and to believe for and to see things happen that you haven't seen before? Well, if you're not in that position, start to get a hunger for it. Start to cry out to God for it. Start to ask him for it, because he wants to take us on in him to be his ambassadors, to be his hands extended, to be his feet, to be his life to other people. And we need to take that seriously and say, "God, I see that I'm dormant in my faith. I want that faith to grow in Jesus' name." We have to do that. The Word must be paramount, and we cannot have that Word paramount in lives if we're not devouring it and getting it into us. That's the initial starting point. Their eyes lit up when they saw the Word in their own language. I'm not going to let you forget that, because you've got the Word of God in your own language, and I guarantee we can't all say that we've read the Word regularly recently. I don't know what it is. People go without a meal and it doesn't seem too bad. They go without two meals, their hunger, their stomach starts to rumble. I go without a meal of the Word and I start to crave. It's like, I don't know how I can't survive, you know. It's worse than anything that you can do when you're fasting or when you're going without food, because your physical body's craving the nourishment. My spiritual man needs that far more than the Word of God, far more than my physical man needs food. We need to be like that. We need to keep our faith developing and growing. And if we don't, boy, it goes dormant. And when we suddenly need faith for something and it's like, "Oh, gee, I don't know how to pray for that." Why? 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 Keep it active. Keep it alive. Keep it functioning. Keep it developing, because God is going to, you know, he's there to work on our behalf, but we've got to do our bit. Amen? Yeah. We really do. Jude 1:20, Bible says, "Building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit." Wow. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, start chasing God and praying and believing for the Holy Spirit to fill your life, because that is another way of developing your faith. Having been rooted and built up in him, established in your faith, just overflow with gratitude. It's another aspect of finding our faith growing in God. Amen? Coming out. "Lord, help my unbelief." Coming to the living Word. Devour the written Word. Start to learn to grow. There's so many scriptures in the New Testament that encourage us to grow in faith. I'm skipping over a bit. But being strengthened in faith, just as you were taught, abounding with thanksgiving. Jesus said, I'm glad I wasn't there when Lazarus died, because they came and said, Lord, if you'd been there, my servant, my brother wouldn't have died. And then one translation that says this, well, I'm glad I wasn't there, because now it's going to give you a chance to grow in your faith and your belief. Let's go visit Lazarus and let's go see him and get him out of that tomb. And they grew in faith seeing what Jesus did in that. Being convinced of this, that I know I will continue to live and be with all of you, this will help you to grow and be joyful in your faith. There was so many encouragements from Paul. Next one, thanks, Matt. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, or patience in some translations. You want to endure, you want to fight on, you want to be someone who's tenacious enough to hang on to the next battle or even look forward to it. Those last trials you've been through, those last tests we've all been through, are not there just to give us some form of, you know, knocking around. It's there for us to exercise our faith. It's there for us to develop our faith. It's there for us to produce a little more tenaciousness in God's kingdom. And let that endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, wanting or lacking nothing. I'm still in the growth stage. I would love to be perfect and complete, lacking or wanting nothing. Is anyone there yet? Then we got a lot to do, amen? We have got some growing to do. We have got some serious word reading to do. We have got some serious rejoicing to do. We have got some serious praying in the Spirit to do. We have got some serious grasping hold of everything God has for us to do, because none of us are there yet. And I look at that scripture and I think, Lord, you want me to be like that? Perfect and entire, wanting nothing? And that's not going to be the day we get to heaven. That'll be like that then for sure. But I believe that's a capacity we can reach now. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't have said it to the church, would he? He wouldn't have said it. He would not have said that if he didn't intend for it to be part of our experience on planet Earth. That's the heart of the Christian that needs to be pumping in our lives and in our desires and in our passions for God. Lord, I don't want to be a person that's less than what you want me to be. I don't want to be somebody who's less than what your standards for me should be. And I want to be that person, Lord. I want to have that faith and tenaciousness and endurance in my life, that I may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, so that I can be a person who's a giver, who's a blesser, who's a transmitter of your life, who's a transmitter of your love, but not just someone who's desperately needing it all the time. Only someone who's out there being effective for your kingdom, perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, our proving of our faith and the proving of the love of God in Ephesians 3:17 is an amazing Ephesians 3. This is where Paul prayed for the church, and I pray for the church constantly like this, because I don't think there's a better prayer you can pray for God's people. But he bowed his knees before the Father, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth derives his name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ would dwell in your hearts through faith, that you'd be rooted and grounded in love, and to be able to comprehend with all the saints the breadth, the length and height and depth and the love of Christ, which surpasses all natural knowledge. Don't try and understand it intellectually. It's a spiritual given revelation. It's not an intellectual grasping. You cannot understand it with your natural thinking and your natural mind. You need to be filled with all the fullness of God, and to him who now is able to do far abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to that power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forevermore. Amen. Oh, that that buzzes my, pushes my buttons, that prayer that Paul prayed, because I see the capacity that God has given for the church to function and operate in, because it's there for every one of us, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen? And He is then able to do abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to His power that works in us. Christ dwelling in your hearts by faith. That's a development process, I believe. The church doesn't need to think is a forever scenario. We might get there in this lifetime if Jesus tarries. Well, forget about that. Whether Jesus is coming tomorrow or in 200 years doesn't matter. Get your spiritual muscles developed. Get your faith developed. Get to the point where He can do far abundantly above all we ask or think, because His power is working in us anyway. Amen? Yeah, amen. That we might be filled with the fullness of God, complete, perfect, and entire, lacking nothing. Amen. Operating at a level I'm satisfied with? No. I'm never, ever going to say I'll be satisfied fully. I'm craving more of what God's got, and I keep saying, Lord, what am I lacking? What am I lacking? Where do I need to change? And the greatest thing that God ever revealed to me was where I said, Lord, thank You for Your protection and Your correction. Holy Spirit, I crave it. And it's been an amazing journey, allowing God the liberty to correct my life. It's been an amazing journey. If you're not serious, don't pray that prayer, I tell you, because God will get on your case. He's like a chicken on a bug, and He will never let you go. You say, Lord, I need You. Thank You for Your direction, Your protection, and Your correction. A lot of people all want, oh, Lord, bless me. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. Lord, do the other. They want all the blessing and the protection, but they don't want the correction. If you ain't serious, don't pray that one. But it's the greatest experience I've ever had with God in such a long time. He has been so faithful in it. And He's not like a God with a big stick. He's so faithful in just changing, changing, changing what needs to be changed. I ask myself the question, is my faith fully developed to allow me to be an effective part of what God is preparing for His church and His kingdom? I'm walking in what I know. I'm walking in what I have. But I tell you what, I know there's more. Yeah, and I'm craving that. I'm seeking God for that. I'm thanking God for it. I'm believing God for it. Yeah. And I know where God's taking His people. I just wish I was 40 years younger, because I can tell you what, the next few years is going to be the most amazing turnaround of God's kingdom, and seeing so much happening on this planet. I'm fully convinced. Fully convinced. The church is going to be the greatest force to be reckoned with before Jesus comes back. No question about it. He's coming back for a bride without spot and wrinkle. Coming back for a glorious church. What's a glorious church? A church that's full of glory. It's coming. And He's preparing the church. He said, I will build My church. And He's building it. Amen? Time's gone on, so I'm not going to do it. I was going to have another flashback. I didn't even know that was a flashback. I'd never even heard that song. You could have said, oh, there's a latest song on the latest CD, and I still would have believed you. What flashback was that? Where'd that come from? The what? 90s, 2000?
Lucky it's easy enough to pick up. And hallelujah.
Well, everyone's ahead of it, you know. I was going to have a better flashback than that, but I'm going to give you a second of it, because I think we need to pray this to ourselves before we go on. I'm going to rise up with wings of eagles. You know, when the children of Israel, yeah, you can fix this up, because I've got no idea what I'm doing with it. It was my guitar, I'd know what I was doing, but it's yours, I've got no idea. Perfect. Whoa, it's crackling.
Stand still.
Huh?
Stand still.
Stand still. You know, the Bible talks to the children of Israel and says, I bore you out of Egypt on eagle's wings. And eagle's wings was the power of God that operated in and through their lives to set them free. We're going to do the same thing right now as we commit ourselves afresh to Him. Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I've found in you. Lord, I come to know the weaknesses I see. By the power of your love, hold me close, let your love surround me, bring me near, draw me to your side. I'll rise up like the eagle, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love. Lord, unveil my eyes, let me see you face to face, knowledge of your my life in living every day in the power of your love. Hold me close, let your love surround me, bring me near, draw me side. And as I wait, I'll rise up like the eagle, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love, and I will soar with you. Your spirit in the power of your love. Wow. Lord Jesus, change our lives. Let us see you face to face. The knowledge of your love as you live in us, Lord God. Cause us to grow in faith. To walk in your power, to walk in your righteousness, to walk in all that you've made us to be. Work on us, Lord, completely, I pray, that we would be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, for the establishment, growth, and development of your kingdom, both in us and around us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Told you I'd be finished in time.